Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you right for this March 29th, 2023. It is 7:04 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
We got the gang back together, everybody. It's going to be a fun show today. We're going to have some fun.
Yeah.
We got some good things lined up for you. Taking a look at my computer that is not working.
No, here we go.
The cities with the worst drivers, and that's going to be maybe surprising.
Okay.
Scientists have created, have cornered the market on the mammoth meatball. we have to talk about that.
I heard about that.
Yes, we have to talk about it. We've got some other fun stuff. We're going to kick off the 8 o'clock hour after our weather update. 10 questions people rarely answer honestly. Should be an interesting one. I got plenty of other good things lined up for you this show. 7 o'clock hour going to feature the our National Day of calendar. Looking forward to diving into that. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And a little bit after Melissa's news, we'll be joined by Phil and our friends from Quality Plus Printing with a wicked awesome Word of the Wednesday.
All right.
Nice.
Looking forward to that. 9 o'clock hour, we will kick things off with some entertainment news for you. We'll get into some good stories, Danny Wright stories of the day. We have a good story of the day, actually hot off the presses, that got sent to us this morning from our own head of the news department, Melissa Kay, that we have to get to. We have a way to bring people together.
We do.
I burned through this article really quick because if Melissa sends me something, I know it's something I'm going to want to check out.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, if it's overnight or in the morning, we'll do it the next show. Something like that. I don't have a lot of time in the morning to look over too much.
Right.
This one, no, we got to do it today. We got to do it today, Mel.
Good.
It's coming up a little bit later. Looking forward to all of that. First off, Melissa, how's it in Abbotsford today?
Oh, it's good. It's good.
He's sold.
Not going to elaborate on that. No.
I believe her. I believe her. Yeah.
Well, I turned my furnace down because it's making a noise. Like I turned the temperature down because it sounded like something was taking off outside.
Oh,
and I'm like, what is that noise? Are they using the leaf blower again to get rid of what little snow there is falling down? Because I don't understand why that's a thing. Maybe that's what's going on.
I don't understand leaf blowers, period.
Door and it got quieter, so I come back to the basement door. I'm like, no, that's downstairs.
Ooh, that's kind of scary.
I don't know if it's scary or if it's just... I didn't notice it before.
Oh, that's true.
Be scary. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't messaged my boyfriend about it yet. I figure I'll just turn the furnace down. Every time it comes on, I'll just turn it down a little more.
Hey, house in central Wisconsin blasted off today.
Yes. I'm waiting for that. Melissa, will you be able to cover the story if it happens to you? Would you be able to be the first person on the scene to be able to report on the story?
I am not currently sitting over top of the furnace, so it's possible. It would hit the dining room first, so I might be good.
Just want to make sure we cover the important things here. Can Melissa do her job?
Yes, I'll escape out the front door through the plastic wrap that is currently covering the door. It'll be like one of those busting through motions.
Yes, absolutely.
In slow-mo and everything, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know how that goes throughout the morning. Please keep us up to date.
Yes.
You're able to report on this story right from the ground level, so we want to make sure to get there.
I may need to at some point go get the generators, so I have heat, being that it's not going to be super warm today.
Right.
Or I'll just go put on more socks.
Yeah, whatever you got to do, right? That's how cold affects you.
Yeah.
Really, weather, because we forget a little bit of this time of year, but when it's that kind of hot where you just can't, you want to take your bones off and your skin and like you just can't get comfortable. When cold can be the same way, where you just put on layer
keep
after layer.
On, yeah.
Yes. Dirty clothes, it doesn't matter. Just put it on. Just keep me warm. Stay safe over there, Melissa.
Yeah.
I don't know what else. I wasn't sure what else to say there.
Please don't blow up. Yes.
Seth, how was your I want to say break sort of, but not really.
Well, James and I were talking before we started the show. It's one of those things where, and Melissa can relate, of course, because she does it from Abbotsford. She's remote when she calls in for this. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing. We can do radio work not at the radio station anymore, and that's. But then James pointed out, But that means you can never get away.
Yeah, you can never leave.
We have you forever. Yeah.
Any moment now, Congress is going to pass a law that dead people can work.
Yep.
We're gonna put them to work. They're gonna figure it out with HR departments and figure out a way. Hey, they're just laying there. Yeah. There's got to be a way. And of course, they won't pay them well.
Of course not.
They won't. The minimum
wage.
But
you're dead. You don't need food. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Actually, James, I just read a book about this, and there is a way.
Oh, geez.
Really not socially acceptable.
No.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about it on air, but okay, it's very awesome.
Yeah. I'm happy to hear that the break was the trip was good. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's nice to get out of town every once in a while.
It is. It was fun, and it wasn't that far away, and it was nice, and it was relaxing. Got to do some nature hikes and that kind of thing. So that's good.
Yeah. Now that is always nice. Yeah. That's really good, especially this time of year.
Some nice weather.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Good to hear. We got some good stuff lined up for you this morning, of course, and we're going to get to a bunch of it. And I there's a couple of places that I wanted us to start today, but I'm a little stuck on the whole working thing, to be honest with you. I can't stop thinking about that part now. But yeah, we'll get to this one. I wanted to touch on this right here because this is a pretty good story. It actually came out a little while ago, and I like the idea of starting our shows off with good stories. The New Mexico Department of Game and Fish is seeking to hire professional bear huggers.
What?
Yes.
Yikes.
I may be having a new part-time job, everybody. I may quit teaching. Quote, must have ability to hike in strenuous conditions, have the courage to crawl into a bear den, and have the trust in your coworkers to keep you safe during the process, the department wrote in a lighthearted Facebook post announcing the application deadline for the next class of conservation officers. So what they're really looking for are conservation officers here.
Okay.
The post includes photos of officers holding bear cubs as part of a research project in northern New Mexico, offering applicants a chance to have, quote, the experience of a lifetime, while pointing out not all law enforcement field work is that glamorous. The post warns against crawling into bear dens or feeding bears, adding, if you do, our officers will have to have a chat with you. If you're able to even have that chat.
Yeah. Right.
The department is taking applications for conservation officer trainees online through March 30th. I would like to send a shout out to Tommy and Tammy. Tommy and Tammy. That is a real life people.
Okay.
Who live near Albuquerque.
Mm.
I want to say an hour and a half. I should look this up. Hour and a half away from Albuquerque that sent this over. So we have some New Mexico listeners.
All right.
Awesome.
I believe that's new. I don't believe we have had New Mexico before. We've had California, Arizona. Mm-hmm. We haven't had New Mexico before. So that is pretty
darn
cool.
We're happy you're here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Welcome you to the show. Appreciate you joining us. And thank you so much for already chipping in.
Yes.
They already chipped in with a great good story. And a new part-time job for me.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I needed.
I like the disclaimer there, though. Just please, after bears.
Please do not do this. Yeah.
Although that will catch your eye if you're scrolling through jobs.
Yeah.
Bear hugger, what? Oh,
yeah. Bear hugger will definitely catch your job. Catch your eye, yes.
Yeah, you're going to be looking at that one.
I don't know. Yeah. The pictures they're showing of the professionals with the New Mexico Department of Game and Fish Department people with the bear cubs. It's just amazing. And these bear cubs are so darn cute. Bears in general, when you see them in the wild and everything, aren't really too bad or anything like that until they see you. Until they see you. That's when it changes. Exactly, Melissa.
Right.
Yes, that's when everything changes. And all of a sudden, it was right in the first couple of months of the quarantine where Sam, my fur brother, was barking out the window. And usually he's doing that and there's nothing out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't see a darn thing. I think half the time it's his reflection that he's barking at or whatever. And otherwise it's a squirrel because Sam is the squirrel king and he tries to keep the yard safe of squirrels. He does a good job. Does a pretty good job at it too. But this time he's barking and it's like midnight. And I'm the only one up, of course, and I go looking out there and everything, and I'm certain that it was raining because there was some thunder, there was some clapter and everything. I'm looking out there, and just a little ways on the path by my parents' house, big bear, Just a big old bear sitting right up there, just walking, just doing its thing, like nothing, like nobody's business. And I'm watching that bear, and I'm thinking, you know, if my first thought is, my gosh, I've got to get a picture of this or something, and I couldn't get the picture of it. And then of course, it was just, you know, wanting to experience the moment and be in the moment and experience it, and I'm watching it. And the confidence that this bear was walking with, I've never experienced a moment in my life like that. They're not necessarily the top of the food chain or anything like that, but they're pretty far up there. And there's a way a bear walks. There's a confidence in a bear that I don't think I don't think even Tom Brady could relate to. Like, there's no human being that can relate to that kind of power. The Rock can't even relate to what it's like to be a bear.
Well, especially around here, the black bears, which is what we have, like you said, they're about the top. There's nothing that can really mess, except for a human with a gun. That's about the only thing that can mess with a bear. In the natural world, not around here, nope. There's nothing that can tangle with a bear and survive, really.
It was funny to me, in California, I've mentioned this, that, you know, the raccoon doesn't have a predator. Mm-hmm. So they just get huge out there, like basketballs and everything. they're saying this with a bear, and this could happen with bear in northern, in the Midwest. Northern Minnesota, places like that. Mm-hmm. They're talking about southern Canada, places like that. Because nature's not going to – we see this with polar bears right now. Polar bears are evolving before our eyes because they have to, because nature survives. Nature finds a way. Nature doesn't let politics or anything else get in its way. It just survives, and it will come, you know, to our town.
It will encroach.
It will. It has no problem. It'll figure it out. It's not safe for it, but that's what you do. What will a human being do to survive? Plenty it will do.
Yep.
And you see, animals are no different. They will find a way. Again, the department is taking applications for conservation officer trainees up until March 30th, if you're curious. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and get into our National Day of Calendar right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining Melissa, Seth, and I. It is time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this March 29th, 2023. March is almost gone. Just wow. Running right by past us here.
Man.
This is a great one. It is Payday It Forward. Payday It Forward.
Y'all get a candy bar?
That would be good. That would be great.
Yum.
When you think about it, nothing is stopping any of us from generating ripples of kindness that reach out across the world and people around us. All of us could share words of affirmation with both the people we know and strangers to make the world a better place. This is the concept behind Payday It Forward. The idea is simple. You pay the kindness you've received throughout the year forward to our young men. Every day, everybody faces challenges in their lives, both big and small. Payday It Forward is a reminder that we need to celebrate and honor the young men in our country. At the core of the day is the idea that everyone in the community should do something to make the lives of young people better. If we all got involved, the lives of young people in our world might be a little bit better.
Cool.
Yeah, that's good.
The paying it forward is one of my favorite things I've ever heard of human beings ever coming up with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I genuinely mean that. Mm-hmm. I think that is an incredibly awesome concept. Carl and I did an episode long ago in our Good Stories of the Day, when we actually first started doing Good Stories of the Day, because we realized there was not enough good news out there. We knew there were plenty of good news, but nobody was covering it, nobody's talking about it. That's where that segment was born. And we started it, I think, if we didn't start it with, it was one of our earlier ones, about the way the Pay It Forward thing started. With this, just this grassroots thing, and starting from simple people wanting to help out other people, and it's spreading the word. This is before social media. Mm-hmm. It's right before social media, but it's before social media and everything. So it's just even more impressive now, considering we're always going to have social media. So now it just isn't. It's not the same. Grassroots efforts are still the same. Don't get me wrong, but they don't mean what they don't incorporate the work that it used to take.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a bad thing. I'm not saying anything about that's evolution. That's the way things work. This is I remember having doing that and having somebody complain to us that, well, what about if we're standing, like the whole in line thing, and you buy somebody's fast food, And well, they bought, all I had was a cheeseburger, and I had to buy two different meals for them and everything. It's not about that.
No.
It's not about that. Not, you're missing the point.
Yeah.
You are missing the point completely.
If you choose to do it, then you're choosing to do it. It's not.
Yeah, exactly. It has nothing to do with the calculus of it, right?
Well, how much you know spending the same amount as the other person or any
yeah,
of these
right.
things? Like that's not that. If that's what you're thinking about, that's fine. But I think you might want to let somebody ahead. Let somebody else do it because you're kind of messing it up for everybody.
Oh man.
It is Niagara Falls Runs Dry Day.
Huh?
Anyone who has ever visited Niagara Falls, whether on the American side or the Canadian side, can attest to the fact that it is torrential gusts of water are powerful and fascinating.
Very true.
But that hasn't always been the case. Now it's time to learn more about why we celebrate this day.
Yeah.
On March 29th, 1848, ice blockages caused the rivers surrounding Niagara Falls to run dry. I think we've seen pictures of this.
Oh, yeah.
This strange occurrence reduced the flow of water to such an extent that Niagara Falls, a usual 3,160 tons of water per second, came to a halt.
Oh, my goodness.
This unusual and unexpected situation was noted as the day the Niagara ran dry from lake to lake. The blockage over the Great Contract lasted for around 30 to 40 hours, and the flow was slowly restored
Wow.
As it turns out, the first person to notice was a farmer from the area who was out for a stroll just before midnight on that day in March.
Wow.
The reason he noticed was because it was eerily quiet.
Yes.
The normal thunderous noise coming from the falls were absent, and even when the farmer walked over to look at the river, it had gone dry. I wouldn't have even thought about the sound.
Yes.
It's got to be deafening almost.
It is.
And you're so used to it, and to have it gone, that would be so weird.
That is eerie.
The silence was deafening. You've heard that phrase before. Yeah. That's got to be where he's, wait a minute, something's not right here.
Right. I don't know if that's where it originated, but that's got to be somewhere you're close to it.
Very good example of it.
Yeah. That is eerie. Wow. And those pictures that we've seen of it are interesting, but I guess it's kind of interesting to put a face to the story sort of thing, a picture to the story.
That must have been one heck of an ice blockage. That's all I'm going to say, man.
Who do you call? if you're that farmer, I got to call somebody. Like, yeah. But who?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who's in charge of the Niagara Falls?
Our police departments have a lot on their shoulders and everything. I don't think they can do much on that one.
Yeah.
What would you say, Melissa?
Yeah, should waterfalls be on
there? Yeah.
I think they have, diverted Niagara Falls a couple times to clean out underneath it.
Yeah, I know that growing up, I seem to remember when we were young, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's National Lemon Chiffon Cake Day. Chiffon Cake Day. That does sound good. Anything chiffon does sound good.
Yes.
I don't even know what it is, but it sounds very good.
Delicious, light and fluffy.
Yeah, and that's pretty much, Melissa pretty much described it for you right there. Nicely done. First invented in 1927, the lemon chiffon cake is an American creation that got its start in the state of California.
Mm-hmm. So is it named after the fabric, or is the fabric named after the cake?
Ooh.
Because I'm guessing because it's so light, that's where it got its name from.
This cake was made by Harry Baker, and that is his real name.
Oh, seriously?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
He was an insurance salesman who later became a caterer.
Well, my name's Baker. I might as well.
Yeah, I probably felt forced.
Give it a go.
Do
you think, way back in the day, that was the case? Like, people like John Blacksmith. Like, I guess you got to be a blacksmith. I guess you got to.
Actually, there's some truth to that.
That's true. Going way back,
If you know a little bit about history, it was a bad joke, but it's there a little bit.
Yeah.
The recipe for chiffon cake were first published in pamphlets, looks like in 1947.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was a closely guarded secret for over 20 years.
Ooh.
That's interesting.
Secret recipe.
And then he sold it.
That is the American way.
Boy, ain't that the
really
truth?
Is, really
ain't
is.
That the
yeah.
truth?
It is Manatee Appreciation Day.
Oh, manatees.
Manatees are amazing.
They really are. Manatees are aquatic mammals known for their immense size and jowly appearance, as well as their lumbering way of moving while they gaze on the seafloor. Manatees might not make the list of cutest animals, but enough manatee enthusiasts exist for Manatee Appreciation Day. Known as, nicknamed the Sea Cow, they are incredibly empathetic and caring creatures, very smart creatures. And you know, certainly one of the animals. Why are we talking about them? You know why we're talking about them, because we've had to do this way too much with way too many animals. Manatees are at risk, and we have to take care of them. Have to make sure that they're safe and everything. And we're not the only ones behind this. Jimmy Buffett is way ahead of this one.
Of all people.
Yeah. Manatee Appreciation Day got its start more than 40 years ago in 81 when the day was established by the Save the Manatee Club in collaboration with singer-songwriter Jimmy Buffett, as well as former U.S. Senator Bob Graham.
Wow. How about that?
Mm. That's pretty cool. And I would never have guessed that. Would have never have known that one. Yeah, but that's I will make the argument, and you can get mad at me, audience. That's the greatest thing Jimmy Buffett has done.
You're not wrong. You're not right.
Nothing against his music. Nothing against people that like his music and everything.
All his parrot heads.
You know,
yeah.
Help keep a species around, so we don't have to tell our kids or our grandkids, hey, these manatees, yeah, they were right. We let them die on our watch. Because that's what all this is. It all falls on our shoulders and our watch.
So what Jimmy Buffett did there, was that mean he created habitat for huge manatees?
I'm not going to give you the wah-wah on that one. That was all right. But plus, he's back. He's just getting back. He's just getting his radio legs back and everything. So that wasn't bad. That was good. I liked it.
All right.
It's World Piano Day.
Mm.
Nice.
Yeah, the piano is amazing. One of the greatest instruments there is.
I miss playing piano. I have one available to me here in town. I just need to call up Jenny and say, hey, can I come over and play your piano?
Wow.
How long have you...
I need to wait for it to warm up.
I didn't even know you could play, Melissa. How long have you been able to play?
Well, I took lessons when I was young. I hated them. So I never really learned how to play, because I don't read music very well. So I learned how to play by ear. So I have a selection of songs that I can play, and that's about it.
Okay.
I was that similar story for me with the trumpet and the cornet. I'm horrible at reading music. So I ended up learning by listening to the kid that was sitting next to me and playing the notes he played.
Oh, there you go.
And just doing that pretty much from sixth grade till my sophomore year in high school, or junior or freshman year in high school.
Wow.
I kid you not. I was just horrible at it. And especially once you got to junior high and high school, there's so many kids. It's not against music teachers or anything. If you don't tell them, hey, I need help, they're not going to know.
No.
Right. And it's not like I was trying to get a first chair or something like
right,
that. I just love playing. I actually like playing more on my own and at home by myself than I did playing with a... It was fun to play with a group. I'm glad I had that experience. I actually think that everybody should try playing a musical instrument. I don't care if it's a triangle. Try playing a musical instrument.
Playing with a group is awesome.
Yeah. It's a really cool experience. I believe it helped me be a better actor, too. A better performer, I'll say. Not an actor, a better performer. Understanding, being on the ground level and understanding an audience better.
Yeah.
And getting more of a feel of that and everything. The invention of the piano began through its predecessors, mainly through medieval times, as a dulcimer, a fretting string instrument, an instrument that with three or four strings attached. From there, it developed into the clavichord, the spinet, the viginal, the clavicin. I don't think I could say that on the air. The clavicin, is that a safe word?
I don't know.
And of course, finally, the harpsichord in the 15th century. Interesting history behind the piano.
Yes.
Very interesting.
The actual name of the piano, of course, is the pianoforte.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because the harpsichord can only play one volume. You cannot make it louder or softer. With the piano, you can. You can make it loud, soft. So basically, literally, a piano is called a loud, soft. Or a soft, loud, I should say.
Wow.
Pianoforte, soft, loud.
That's interesting.
I like that the piano day was began by the German pianist, composer, producer Nils Fromm. His music is really cool. He combines piano music with electronic music, and he's actually one of the artists I like a lot.
I knew his name sounded familiar. I'm so glad you said that name. Yeah, that is a great artist.
I am not familiar.
He loves to incorporate just weird sounds.
Cool.
With piano music, and it's kind of almost orchestral without the orchestra.
He's very impressive. I heard of him because of Take Three.
Really?
Because they're the band that was just in town the other month and everything, and they combined a lot of modern music with string instruments and playing like Smells Like Teen Spirit on violin and cello and all that and everything. Which, by the way, amazing, amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah, I never got to ask you how that concert was.
Oh, I didn't get to go. We got snowed in. Bria and her fiance were going to go and everything with us, and we were all going to go as a group. Mm-hmm. The weather was too bad, so we didn't want to be at a concert and then have to drive back at like 9:30 at night or anything like that up to Point. So we ended up just hanging out, and while I hate that I missed that show, I mean literally hate that I missed that show. It's one of my top 50 bands, and I didn't get to see them in town here. I had some time with my daughter that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
There you go.
I got to see her wedding dress. I got a picture of it. I got to see it and stuff. It was cool.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, so I actually talked to Sally about this and had a nice moment with Sally because she was nice enough to give me a pair of tickets to go to the show for free. And I thought that was really cool, and I felt horribly guilty for not being able to go. But I did get to tell her that I had this time with Bria and everything that was really cool. And we had a nice little moment, Sally and I. It was great. Sally's awesome. Shout out to Sally Kistner, head of the Arts Council. Another great season by them. Looking forward to next season already.
Yeah, they just released what's coming up, too.
They got a nice one.
Yeah, there's some really cool stuff coming next time.
Yeah, we are extremely thankful to Sally Kistner and our friends and Eric Britnocker over at the PAC and the great work that the Arts Council does. Speaking of stuff like that, National Smoke and Mirrors Day.
Hey.
For my next magical trick.
yes. Step into the... Step into a world of illusions where reality is questioned and the impossible becomes possible, an experience that amazes and mystifies. The phrase, it's all smoke and mirrors, refers to the way in which magicians use all manners of distraction to make sure the audience fails to see what's really going on. Growing up, the first hustle I learned was three-card Monty. and how to pull that off and everything. And it was taught to me by a kid that would end up becoming a magician.
Really?
Ended up doing magic and everything.
Oh, my gosh. That makes sense.
You don't hear of a lot of kids coming out of South Chicago to become magicians, but this kid, I don't know whatever happened to Raphael, but that was the last I heard of him, was that he was out doing that and making a couple bucks here and there, doing it, you know, performing for people and stuff. And,
you know, with James, with your hands, if you would have loved magic, I could see Maloff the Magnificent taking the stage some point, you know?
There's a parallel universe that exists with me doing that, and there's another one that where my mother actually is happy, and I learned to play piano.
That's right. And then,
but you know what? I totally could see Maloff the Magnificent as a parody.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bad magician.
Most horrible magician ever.
Just like all my tricks are the simplest tricks there's ever been.
Cups and balls.
Yeah. I love it. I'm so with you on this. Yes, 100%. I actually may
like
do
the
this
little
now.
Kid, you have the little kid magic set that you get when you're like five. You think it's the most amazing thing
ever?
I put a stuffed animal in the you know, cutting him in half thing. Yep, I put a stuffed animal in there, but
and you accidentally cut him in half.
Yeah. I'm apologizing to the audience and everything. Like after every action,
that wasn't supposed to happen.
I love this. I love this idea. You may have just gotten me to retire from radio.
I may
just go ahead and dedicate my life to this.
Take the show on the road.
Finally, it is International Mermaid Day.
Yes.
There's a magical world of half-human, half-fish creatures singing and splashing in the depths. Dive in and explore.
I love mermaids.
Trying to see.
I thought mermaids have been kind of demystified, that's not the right word, have been, you know, I always thought mermaids were dangerous. In the old stories,
well,
you know?
In some stories, yes, absolutely.
Like sirens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The old Greek myths and stuff, yeah.
But just like all of those fairy tales and stories, like Aesop's tales, mm-hmm. and all of those that we've modernized, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah,
we've changed them from their original storytelling of, you know, scaring kids into, like, life is scary and this kind of bad stuff can happen, into, oh, this is all happy, lucky, good, yay. You know?
Yeah,
no, same thing.
Yeah. We did this with monsters. Mm-hmm. Dracula's sexy now. vampires are got to be sexy now and all that.
Lucifer's people fawn over that show.
Yeah, we've done this with all of our bad guys. And we've turned our good guys into anti-heroes. Like, Superman took a guy out, snapped the guy's neck. I mean, like, you know, we've flipped everything around. Yes. There are various versions of interpretations of mermaids all over the world, from the Cornish tale of a mermaid who falls in love with a chorister, to the Javanese sea goddess who sometimes takes the form of a mermaid, from the Rusalak Slavic culture, troubled water spirits of young women who have died sudden or gruesome deaths, to the sea people of the Arabic. Jeez. 1001 Nights Tales. One thing's for sure, mermaids are around everywhere.
Yeah.
They're an interesting one. Hans Christian Andersen, of course, Little Mermaid, of course, mm-hmm. that one. It's interesting. What's original from Disney? Mickey Mouse?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, some of those characters. I remember growing up thinking, like, some of these, wow, Disney really comes up with all these great stories. And no.
They
just know copyright law is really good. They just,
And you're not wrong. But give them a little bit of credit.
Yes,
they do know what sells. I mean, they know which stories to pick. So
there's
we got to give them that.
There's a lot of Grimm Brothers tales that are not.
No, exactly.
That are not okay. So, yeah. My dad read me those.
The fact that they used to have, you know, this was like the freak shows in carnivals and circuses that would travel across the country, mm-hmm. and they'd have a woman in a suit in, you know, the freak show, mm-hmm. seeing the mermaid. It was one of my favorite episodes on Road to Avonlea.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah almost gets kidnapped by the gypsies. It was great.
We are going to take a quick commercial break. I want to hear more about this. Off air, Melissa. I want to,
no idea what she just said. No clue.
I want to know.
Oh, it's such a good show.
We're going to go to Melissa's news. We'll come back with a parenting expert saying there's one phrase every parent should use on their kid. We will find out what that is when we come back. Yeah, not that one. When we come
because
back.
Because I said so.
Yes, yeah. We'll be back. You stick around because we said so on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Let's see if Seth is going to keep his job. Let's see here. Okay, yeah, you can stay. Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Locally grown radio.
It's like I have an agenda. I don't.
No, he doesn't.
It's just, it was popular in the 90s.
That's all it is. Well, we hope you're having a great Wednesday out there, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Seth, Melissa, James here with you. I will say this one holds up.
I think
it holds up, yeah. Sometimes I feel like I don't. Yeah, it's just a good song. It's a good song. Live, even better. When I hear it, I hear the live version in my head. Mm-hmm. When I saw him in Madison at the Kohl Center, and oh my God, yeah, great band. Ever get a chance to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers? That is an amazing band to see. Flea came out and played trumpet in the encore and everything. It was awesome.
I heard he does that quite a bit, actually. Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We got to get into this one, everybody. Here's a trick to connect with your kids in 5 seconds. Talk to them. There you go.
Hey.
End of list.
Boom.
Sorry, that's just me.
Well, that segment didn't take very long. Next.
No, yeah.
Moving on.
That was me incorporating my own editing into this article here. A parenting expert who's big on social media says there's one phrase every parent should say to their kids, especially when they're young. It can make them trust you more and even help with bad behavior. She says to look at them and say, it can be really hard as a kid, right? You don't need to memorize it word for word. Anything close to that is fine. Make it your own even. The point is to show that you understand their point of view and you're on their side.
Yeah, okay. It's tough being a kid.
It is.
It also tells them life's complicated, even for kids, and that's normal. Quote, you are connecting to a reality that very few adults actively name for their kids. She says it helps them feel seen, and when that happens, behavioral problems tend to improve.
Awesome.
Okay.
So, in a way, I was kind of right about this.
Yeah, you're right.
Talk to your kids.
Yes. Not talk at your kids.
Yes.
Talk well, with them, yeah.
And validate their feelings. Validate that it's hard to be in their shoes. You know, because kids often, they're all the time, you know, I can't wait till I grow up. I can't wait till I grow up. And then rail against the things that they can't do. And then we as adults go, yeah, well, I can't do stuff either. But actually wording it as, yes, it's difficult.
We the older we get, the more we forget what it's like to be a kid.
True.
You know, what it's like to be in high school and popularity means something. As adults, what does popularity mean? Who cares? I'm the most popular person in the office. Great. I make more than you. That's all that matters. Like, that's all that people care about and stuff and everything. Little things like that. There's so many factors. And we, as adults, deal with all these responsibilities and all this seriousness every day, 24/7, that, of course, in comparison, when we look at kids, oh, you got it easy. Which is completely hypocritical on us, because when we were that age, we knew how tough it was. We just forgot because we got older, and we, in comparison to these problems we have right now, oh, well, it seemed so simple back then. Oh, and life was better. We romanticize everything about the past. You hear this all the time. I want to go back to a day and age when America was this or this. Maybe for you it was. It sure wasn't for every American like that. Like, I mean, you know, what was a perfect America to you probably wasn't. You know, really think about that. Like, really dive into that one. Like, maybe it was perfect for you in that that particular setting, but not in general, and not for a lot of people.
And I'm sure you're glossing over your own issues that you had too at the same time. It's nothing was like rosy as we always tend to think of it. You know, I remember a little while ago people saying, you know, someone made the comment about kids being, you know, carefree, kids not having to worry. I was like, what are you talking about? You know, kids worry about everything.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I worried about, you know, it might seem silly now, but when you look back, it's like, no, I mean, it's just as stressful being a kid as it is being an adult. It just, what you're worried about changes, but you're still the same thing.
Well, and that's exactly the point. Every person, it doesn't pay to compare yourself to anybody else because every person in their own space and time is dealing with something and it's difficult for them. So that might be for me a broken nail, and every time I pick something up, it hurts. Okay, so that's real. That's happening to me right now, and it's real. Whereas this other person is dealing with something much more serious. Their parent is dying, you know, and that's really hard, and it's difficult for them. You can't compare the two situations, but each person that's going through something it's difficult. The same can be said for adults versus children. I mean, we're all in our own little bubble of life. And that's why empathy is such an important thing to teach and to focus on and remember.
I'm not a believer in everybody gets a trophy day stuff. I don't think we need to coddle children necessarily, but that doesn't. You don't have to go to that level. Like empathizing, getting literally to their eye level and looking them, your child in the eye, or looking a child in the eye and talking to them and saying something like this, having that empathy, that's the trophy. That's what you're looking to do. I genuinely think a lot of what the good intentions, nobody was doing that stuff, because I think a lot of that has died down, but nobody was doing those things because, oh, this will really mess up kids. Let's give them a trophy for coming in last place. No, they came from good intentions. It came from a good place, but we understand, you know, a little bit different now. But it's, I don't think that this is that. I don't think it's that kind of thing. I think this is one of the greatest things you can do as an adult.
Yes,
generally.
And also teaching kids emotions, because you don't learn those if somebody doesn't teach you the differences between, you know, anger and frustration and irritation, and you know, emotions are so minute. and complicated. And if you don't help children give the voice to what those are, and yes, you're struggling, you're frustrated, that's understandable. Your life is, you know, you have some tough things as a kid.
They have no, think about this, especially for young adults, 15 to 18 or 15 to 17, anything like that. They're in a world and they're coming into a world and growing, you know, going into being adults in a world that they have no control over. They did not vote any of these people into office. They did not choose any of these things. They did not, like, you know, there's a hundred things we could talk about that the young people had nothing to do with. Like, mm-hmm. they have no choice. And hey, guess what? You're 18. This is all yours now. Here you go. You get this.
Yeah.
You get this, oh, and this, and oh, this other thing that we did. This is all yours now. Good luck.
Yeah.
We're retiring.
Now fix it, right?
Yeah, now you fix it. You make this better. Make the world better, because we have no idea what we're doing.
Yep.
By the way, that's Welcome to Adulthood. You have no idea what you're doing.
That's right.
Good luck.
The least we can do is look them in the eye and tell them, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I get that I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that I don't understand. That can mean just as much as saying you get it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and just being there for them and empathizing with them on the level that they're at.
It's like one of the least things we can do as human beings.
Right.
I love that. That's a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun in the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you at 7:53 on the clock. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Will CBS News will come in and catch you up on all your world news. After that, we'll be joined by Paul Trombley and our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Get a live and direct update from what we got in store from Mother Nature coming up. And after all of that, we are going to get into the 10 questions people rarely answer on. Honestly. Later in the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And our Quality Plus Printing Star, Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour as well. For right now, we're talking dating. If you're a third of people currently looking for a man said that being bald under 5'7" would have no impact on their decision to date them. So being bald and short, not a bad thing. 36% also said that they'd feel more comfortable making the first move on a guy who's short or missing some hair on top. So you might even have not have to do anything. Just stand there at the bar and just do your thing. You're two wild and crazy guys. This last stat seems a little backhanded in some ways. According to a poll, one benefit of dating a guy who's short and bald is he probably won't be cheap. He won't cheat on you.
No, geez.
And he's probably not cheap.
None of this is true.
Yeah.
72% said that they'd be less worried their man would cheat if he was short and bald or seen as less attractive in a relationship. That's horrible.
Oh my gosh.
Overall, 63% of singles said personality is more important to them than looks.
That is true and should be.
And that's something that I think we can at least hang our hat on in this article, because there's not a lot of other good things.
No. Nope. No, that's terrible. Yeah, because that's why you marry someone.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not they're going to cheat on you and, you know,
that's the
lasting relationships, you know, that's what they're based on.
That's
you can judge how somebody's going to cheat on you by how they look.
Yeah. Seriously? Yeah. Come on now.
Trust me, you can't.
No. Nope. No.
Definitely not the case.
Nothing to do with it. No.
I will say I do like that the 63% there, well over half, saying about the personality part.
Yes.
That does not, you know, personality doesn't usually age.
No.
And if it does, it's usually more like wine than it is like
fine
our
personality.
Yes,
wine,
like yes. Like our faces are, where our faces just every day you seem to feel. Is that where did that come from?
Yeah,
who's that?
Where's that line? What is this line here?
How do I have a hair growing here?
Yeah,
that's the weirdest one. That's the weirdest one. I'll be completely honest, because this happened to me in December, I want to say it was, or something like that. I was getting out of the shower. I'm getting put my contacts in, and I can see. And I get it in, and I look at my shoulder, and I'm like, wait, what? There was a hair. There was a single hair coming out of my shoulder. Out of my shoulder.
And, well, it was large enough that you could see it.
Yes.
Just like, whoa, wait a minute.
I pulled it out my own hand.
How long has that been there?
Yes, that's the other question. It's like, oh my God, how long has that been there? What have I been, like, who's seen this on me? What's going on?
Yes, because you often show your shoulders, James.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. But I'm not not to give too much information here. I'm not your typical Italian. I'm not very hairy. I noticed that one right away.
Yeah, right.
Like, that flipped me out, man. Like I have had like every other person in history. As I'm getting older, I find creases and white hairs and those things that hasn't really bothered me that much. That one bothered me. The whole hair where there's never been hair before. Like, what is going? I've already been through puberty. I already agreed to puberty's agreement, to their standards and everything, their requirements and stuff. And I went through that gamut. End of story. I should not have to worry about this anymore. I genuinely believe once you graduate high school, pimples should stop. They should just stop.
You know, your body should get the memo,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Come on now.
Like, there's no reason that a 30-year-old should have to deal with pimples. There's no reason. It's not right. It's not fair. It's not right. It doesn't make sense.
It's life, James.
Oh, it is. It is definitely life.
There's always speed bumps.
You are...
some of them are pimply.
Look very like pimples, those speed bumps. Telling you.
I can't. Is there one that bothers you about getting older most as far as your appearance, like the looks thing goes, losing hair or a wrinkle or anything like that?
Facial hair. I do not want to have to pull out more hair out of my face all the time.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It ain't right.
Okay. So to combine this with our dating conversation from before, there was one guy I was having a conversation with, and he was so stuck on finding a woman with less facial hair than him.
Wow.
Wow.
Like, he kept bringing it up. I promise you, I don't have more facial hair than you.
Oh, that's like, weird.
Well, he just got weirder as the conversation went on. So.
Oh, unique. I'm sorry. He's not weird. Quickly. He's just unique. That's all.
No, he was weird. He was a ref for the, what do you call it, WWF wrestling.
Oh, interesting. Stuff.
Yeah, so he was an actor.
Interesting.
Ref,
wow.
And he ran his own, like, pest control business. Or he was a pest control thing. For
interesting.
Unique. Unique individual.
I don't know. It was a weird combination of jobs.
All right.
On that note, we're taking a break.
We should.
We'll come back and have some more fun at the 8 o'clock hour with you on Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio.